it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. We are live at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds will host the Durham Bulls tonight. First pitch, 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Tomorrow is emo night here at First Horizon Park. I got to be there. And Willie was like, what's emo? Do you mean Elmo? No.
Emo?
I mean emo, as in emotional. I am an emotional guy.
So you go.
For the record, I did not mention Elmo, even though I did.
You thought it.
I did see the Comedy Central routine where Jon Stewart had a fictional Elmo.
Yes.
Who said he was neutral.
Uh-huh.
Elmo said he wanted both teams to have fun in the NBA Finals.
Right.
He's a native New Yorker.
Right. So that was Jon Stewart's angle. It's like, you should be rooting for the Knicks. And then come to find out in this bit that Elmo is secretly has a gambling problem. And he's talking about overs and unders, you know. It was pretty funny.
So it's not Elmo night.
It's emo night tomorrow.
So I might have to come.
Yeah.
But, Connor, you were out at Titans OTA practice today. You know there's a lot of Cam Ward belly aching going on. Tell us quickly your review of Cam Ward's performance today.
He's not a bust, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
He is not,
good to hear.
He is not, you know, the worst quarterback to ever grace the field, as some people are putting out there. That said, he wasn't particularly, you know, Hall of Fame level today. He didn't light the world on fire. He wasn't good. I'll just put it that way. He wasn't the best quarterback on the field, in my opinion. Mitch Trubisky had a good day, in my opinion. But
quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah. We got a QB battle here in Nashville. But he was fine. You know, like I told you, I think when he works across the middle, he works those short game passes, and even some of the mid-range stuff with Carnell Tate and Wandell Robinson, Calvin Ridley in there, he looks accurate. It's the deep balls that are concerning. And there were, you know, I could probably count on two hands some instances where I thought, yeah, he could probably angle that a little bit better. Yeah, he could probably throw that a little bit shorter or a little bit longer or what have you. So I'm not in full-on panic mode yet. It's a June practice. It's you don't take a lot of stock in a practice that doesn't have pads unless you're Kevin Winston, who full-on tackled Calvin Ridley today. But you shouldn't take a lot of stock into an unpadded practice. That's just my opinion.
So Robert Saleh today was asked about Cam Ward's struggles in OTA practices, at least those attended by reporters. And as I joked before the break, Robert Saleh could have written his epitaph with this quote. I'll put myself out there. I think it's very safe to say that we've got a really, really, really good quarterback. Three reallys. Really, really, really good quarterback, and we're in good hands, end quote.
What
so
if
when Robert Saleh gets fired, that quote's going to resurface. That's going to be on Robert Saleh's Titans coaching tombstone if it doesn't work out. I'll put myself out there, quote. I think it's very safe to say that we've got a really, really, really good quarterback, and we're in good hands, end quote.
What did he say about Zach Wilson when he first did he only get one really, or did he
or
not
two.
Get any reallys?
Cam Ward got three reallys. I would have to do some research to see how many reallys Zach Wilson got a few years ago, but hey.
He might look really, really, really good compared to Zach Wilson.
but if he gave Zach three reallys too,
then we got a problem.
Yeah, we got a problem.
Then I'm concerned.
Then you have reason to be concerned. So, as we've been discussing, since the Titans started OTAs, the number one storyline is Cam Ward's accuracy. Ward has struggled in that department at practice. He struggled in that department last season. And the other day, I stumbled across a story on Pro Football Focus written by Bradley Locker about the most and least accurate quarterback seasons in Pro Football Focus history, which dates to 2015, so more than 10 years. Ward was not featured in the story, but I reached out to Bradley Locker, who wrote the story, and he was kind enough to share the data on Ward. Mm-hmm. And I want to share it with all of you. So Pro Football Focus breaks down accuracy into four categories. Bear with me here. One, overall accuracy. Two, plus accuracy. Three, catchable inaccurate, and four, uncatchable inaccurate. And for those of you concerned about Ward's precision, the data suggests you have reason to be concerned. So let's start with quote-unquote uncatchable inaccurate. And you guys tell me if this meshes with what you saw from Ward last season. Uncatchable inaccurate is described as, quote, even despite a Herculean ding effort from the receiver, there is almost no shot of the pass being completed. This includes overthrows and underthrows, as well as passes thrown too far in front or behind. Ward, last season, had an uncatchable inaccurate rate of 22.4%, which ranked 31st out of 37 quarterbacks who attempted at least 200 passes.
Okay.
Do you all think that tracks from what you saw from Ward last season?
Let me ask one question, and I don't know if this is addressed in there. Do they factor in the pass rush in these throws? Or is it just whatever the pass rush is, it is? We're just tracking the result of the throw. I'm guessing it's the latter, right?
So
if it's not already mentioned.
I don't know if it includes pass rush, but I know that when evaluating a quarterback's accuracy, Pro Football Focus removes throwaways and spiked balls and passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. So I assume that these numbers also remove those passes as well. I can't tell you if it includes pass rush or not, but I'm confident it takes out balls thrown away when he's scrambling, running for his life.
Teammates, I would imagine if somebody comes up with and has a set of numbers and says, okay, we have the numbers, uncatchable, inaccurate, and you're right at the top of the list. That's just not a good feeling.
No, it's not a good feeling. But I'm not – because I just look at the game. Again, I think everything has its place, as my dad would always say, because he's an Army guy. Everything has a place, so put it in that place. Let's talk about my clothes, really. But I think everything has its place. Those numbers, analytics, has its place in this game. It's made the game better. I also think that watching it, knowing what's going on, that has its place too. Again, we've always said, how do you marry those two in a way that is giving, it's being actual, but still showing that there are a lot of variables within that accuracy or how accurate you are. Because when I looked at the games, I didn't see that. I just didn't. Now, I'm not saying I didn't see any overthrown balls or throw balls thrown. I see that from every quarterback, you know. But I didn't see it at a rate that suggests I would have thought, man, he's the worst quarterback in the league when he throw more overthrown balls.
Well, he's not.
Just about everybody.
31st out of 37. And if you give me a moment, I can tell you the quarterbacks who had a worse rate.
So that is a fair question. Is he in a group of quarterbacks that were largely ineffective in general? Because I believe that, to be fair, the environment he was in contributed to that number. If his supporting cast gets better, that number should obviously get
here
better.
Here are the quarterbacks who had a higher rate of uncatchable and accurate passes, according to Pro Football Focus. Marcus Mariota, Michael Penix Jr., Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, Baker Mayfield, and J.J. McCarthy.
See, now that's an interesting mix, right? Because Caleb Williams and Baker Mayfield, you would say, had some traits that were pretty effective, right?
They led the team, well, at least both guys led
Caleb Williams
the
got his team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, Caleb Williams, we know he's got a rocket of an arm, and we can picture some throws that
And he actually
well.
Had a worse completion percentage than Cam Ward last season, for what it's worth.
Yeah, interesting. Mayfield, that's surprising to me.
By the way, if you're curious, in the Pro Football Focus era, the quarterback with the worst uncatchable inaccurate rate in a single season, Anthony Richardson in 2024, 33.6%, compared to Cam Ward this past season, 22.4%. That tracks because a lot of questions about Anthony Richardson's accuracy. He had the worst rate in that realm in the past 10 years.
Now, we're only talking about the extreme uncatchable. This is the extreme misses, right?
Yes. Again, the description
is... So are throwaways intentional throwaways factored into this? Like, I'm trying to figure out why.
So Pro Football Focus has a stat called adjusted completion percentage.
Yeah.
Which tries to take into account things that are out of the quarterback's control. Mm-hmm. So correct me if I'm wrong here. If a quarterback spikes the ball to stop the clock, that counts as an incomplete pass.
Yes.
Correct?
Uh-huh.
So Pro Football Focus removes that from the calculus.
Yeah.
Okay.
If a quarterback is running for his life and throws the ball away, that counts as an incomplete pass in real life. Pro Football Focus does not consider that in their analysis.
Okay.
So I assume in these passes, throwaways, spiked balls, et cetera, are not included.
Well, even if that is indeed the case, again, I didn't watch Cam and think at the end of the season, man, he throws the ball over people's head too many times, or he throws it behind them too many times. I just never thought that. Did I believe he needed to get a little bit more accurate than what he was? Yes, he does. But I never thought that. And listen, I'm not a quarterback guru either, you know. And I don't know their offense and what they want to do each and every play. But I never walked away from a game thinking like, man, this dude, he overthrow the ball every week. Or he's throwing it behind guys every week.
So Cam's overall accuracy rating was 58.9%. Accurate, the definition according to Pro Football Focus, when a passer puts the ball on the receiver's frame so that he doesn't need to adjust or slow down to make the play and continue after the catch. Cam Ward, 58.9% of his passes were considered accurate. That ranked 22nd out of 37.
Yeah, I think a lot. I think some offenses, and again, they're going to have to. Hopefully, this offense allows for a lot of movement, to where as guys get the ball and they're going. But there are some offenses that are not as fluid as others in the passing game. You have a lot of stops, you have a lot of, you know, curls, comebacks, you know, stuff like that. So when you have shallow crosses and slants, those are the plays that, depending on the defense, that allows you to get it and go and not break stride. But even those at times, again, it's like, what is the defense doing? That's the thing, too. You got to look at what is the defense doing, because if it's 3rd and 3 and they're playing the tight quarters coverage and that safety is up, I have to put it in a place where I hit him right on his back shoulder because the defensive guy is right above him. Or I may have to put it low because the defensive back. See, those are all the things that – all those variables that we don't talk about.
It's hard to really drill down on some of this stuff. But I do think there's enough out there with these numbers and the eye test, because that's what we're putting together, right? A lot of the media have been watching these practices, and they've all said it's a little bit – it's still a little bit erratic at times, right? It's not – you don't come out of there saying, boy, he was laser – or razor sharp today. He's hitting everything. There's still questions about his accuracy from the eye test, and I think the numbers from his rookie year back up that he's got to improve overall, even with the environment he's been in. And I think that is going to be the key, is can they improve the environment with better personnel, with a new coach who has got the great reputation of being a quarterback-friendly offensive guru. If you can take those things, you hope to see a lot of improvement. It's not going to be a finished product after this year, but if he can take some steps forward, then that's good.
Matthew says, does Cam Ward work for Allstate? Because he's putting them in good hands, I suppose. One texter says, I don't know why this is infuriating to listen to, but I know those stats don't take into account how crappy his line was and the fact that he had no receivers and had to play the top 12 defenses 13 times as a rookie with trash can coaching. But yeah, totally. He sucks. I am not saying Cam Ward sucks. I am saying that I am reasonably concerned about his accuracy. And I don't know how often a quarterback can dramatically improve his accuracy over the course of his career. I know that Josh Allen, I believe,
is
brought up as an example. But Josh Allen is one of one.
Lamar Jackson.
But you wouldn't have said that after his first year.
Exactly. Not even after the second year. You wouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Josh Allen, he did not look like he was going to become the player he did. Mm-hmm. I think there were a lot of questions after a year or two. And there's probably not a lot of guys who have made a jump like he's made since then. Sometimes you see it after the first year and you're like, it doesn't get any better. But Josh Allen spiked, no question.
But if I were to tell you that Cam Ward, again, was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in terms of throwing passes that had almost no shot of being completed, including overthrows and underthrows, as well as passes thrown too far in front or behind, would you say, yeah, that makes sense based on what I saw? Would you think that would be a reasonable evaluation of Cam Ward?
Yeah, for now, again, trying to understand that he was going through the gasoline fire. Like, I would love to look at all the throws that went into that 20, what did you say, whatever
22.4%. 22.4.
So I'd love to get a package of those throws and track each one and say, what did he see there? What were the circumstances? Was he under a blitz where, like, nobody's open? I'm going to get my head caved in here. If I don't just chuck this ball, I'm throwing it away. Yeah. Like, I think there have to be some of those in there. And there's probably a batch of them in there where you're just like, you're thinking the throw's there, but that throw's way off. So it's a combination.
One texter says, the O-line, wide receivers, and coaching didn't make Cam overthrow wide-open guys many, many times.
Again, there were times that I didn't walk away from the game saying, or walk away from this season saying, man, he's overthrown his guys more than anybody, or just about more than anybody in the league, or he's thrown behind them more than just about anybody. I didn't walk away from the game or walk away from the season thinking that. I walked away from the season thinking the kid has developed a little bit. He needs to develop more. They need to surround him, and then we can get an accurate portrayal of who he's going to be. And if he doesn't show it, I am going to be the first person. That's my track record, okay? If you show me that you're doing something, great. But the minute you start deviating from that, then I have a right to point it out. And I will do that with Cam. If he, like, if we get into camp, and they're going against their defense every day, then they go and get, you know, they have everybody, they have these guys coming in for you know, practices with other teams, or they're going somewhere else. If he's not looking good, then I think that's when people need to start taking note.
615-737-1025. Just thought I would share some fancy stats about Cam Ward's accuracy. We'll take your thoughts on it, 615-737-1025. Also coming up next, if you are a crisis PR manager or happen to know someone who is a crisis PR manager, my suggestion, get your ass to Lubbock right now. 615-737-1025. We'll explain coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Brendan Sorsby is recovering from an addiction. He's recovering. I've sat down with this young man multiple times, and the things that he is going through and what he's been through is serious. As a society, we've been okay with other things that happens and allowing players to play, and this has been the one thing that has united people that we're against, you know. And it's crazy because it's not murder. It's not beating somebody. There's a lot of things that we're working. Little
thing, let me lie, you kind of calls the mama. Texas Tech coach Joey McGuire. Can you put that on the T-shirt? It's not murder. It's not beating somebody. Brendan Sorsby on the back.
There's a lot of things that it's not, including those things. And that is so
that
not
is
the
true.
Point. So not the point.
I
not
mean,
the point.
On the surface, it is true. Gambling is not murder or assault.
We know that. Duh.
But Texas Tech has been stepping in it lately.
Oh, my gosh.
That wasn't the only blunder that someone affiliated with Texas Tech made in the past day or so. Connor, what's the name of the booster who's all over the news now?
Cody Campbell.
Cody Campbell.
Cody Campbell. All right. Cody Campbell. He was on with Dan Dockich and said this, among other things, about the situation. Quote, he didn't bet on a single game he played in. He didn't hurt anybody. There are kids that will suit up this fall who have actually hurt people and done bad things. And nobody's talking about boycotting them or not playing them. Nobody's on their moral high horse saying they're so good and Texas Tech is so evil. I don't have any patience for that. There are kids that are playing that have gotten DUIs, that have beaten up women, kids that have committed horrible acts. Nobody boycotted Penn State when that horrible situation happened there. If this happened at LSU, people would say, ah, it's LSU. They're always going to do what they do. But it happened at Texas Tech, and people don't want to compete with us.
So far off base.
Among other things.
First of all, Penn State specifically paid a terrible penalty.
They fired everybody.
Yeah, they had to take several steps back. I mean, that was a awful example that was unrelated to the very specific rules of gambling on sports. He's trying to distract from the point. And the whole thing about LSU, again, so far off base. What in the world kind of scope are we looking through here? It is just unbelievable. If LSU, you're telling me it wouldn't be just as big of a story if it was LSU or Alabama or Ohio State. It would be equally as big. It's a fundamental thing. You cannot bet on the game. You can't do it.
He's one of those people that you end up despising, that you end up hating. He is. He is. He's one of those guys because he tries to make you sympathize with the abuser. That's what he tries to do, point blank. It's no other – you can't put it any other way. He's the type of guy that try to get you to sympathize with the abuser, and everybody see that you beat on her. Or she beat on him. But you try to get me to sympathize with him. No, I'm not doing that. Like, I am not. Listen, the kid has a problem. He does. And that's serious. If you want to help the kid, let him come to practice. Let him be around the team. Let him be a GA. Learn the game more. Be around the team. So you're right. He's not by himself. But that don't mean he can play on Saturdays or any day that you play a game against another opponent. So what you're saying is, you're basically saying is, you abuse her, you're not going to jail, but we're going to force her to go back to you. That's basically what he's saying.
And I do think that some of these instances he's talking about that we have dealt with as sports talk show hosts when they come across, right? So-and-so is arrested for this or that. A domestic violence, a DUI, all of these things. And there's always a debate on what to do, but there's also many times a dispute on the facts. A lot of us don't always know the particulars of what happened. And that is so different than this case, where everybody knows exactly what he did.
It's
not
betrayal.
In dispute. He gambled all these different things. He did it. It's against the rules specifically. So it is not comparable to domestic violence or DUI or these other examples he's throwing out there or what school it took place against.
Listen,
it's ridiculous.
Should there be – we can debate on whether there should be harsher rules for, you know, domestic violence or DUI.
Yes.
So we can debate that.
Of course.
I think everybody can debate that. But when it comes to gambling, there's no debating that. There's never been a precedent where – a guy or girl hasn't gotten suspended indefinitely, period. Or they've taken a significant hit. We talked about the guys that were here in Nashville. Ridley, a season gone. Nicholas, 6 games. That is big in the NFL. But those were guys making a few bets. One guy made a bet on another sport, but he was on the NFL grounds. Another guy was in Vegas, and he made a bet.
You have to have sharp and decisive and punitive rules because of one thing that is different than all these other things. If you are watching a sporting event and you're not sure if everybody's playing hard and the game's on the level, that is the biggest problem you can have. And so there have to be major penalties. It's got nothing to do with who gets hurt. Well, nobody got hurt. He's just betting. Who got hurt? Nobody. It's the rule. Mm-hmm. It leads to other things. It's been proven over time. It's why the Black Sox scandal happened in 1919 and they put the rules in that they did. You cannot bet on baseball. They wanted to put it to stop because you did not want to have that thought watching ever when you're watching the game at the highest level.
Texas Tech's AD also released a lengthy statement the other day. Here is part of it. Quote, I've heard the word integrity used a great deal in the last 48 hours. As someone who has dedicated his career to college sports, I too believe integrity is central to our industry success. I also think integrity applies on more than one front. The integrity of sport matters. So does the integrity of how we treat a 22-year-old who sought help, entered residential treatment, and is working every day toward recovery. Those two things don't have to be in conflict.
Again.
Not the point.
Not the point. And you are, okay, Texas Tech, you would be showing what you deem integrity if you take care of the kid. That doesn't mean you got to let him play football. Help him with his addiction again.
Yes.
Allow him to go to school there, be around the team, but you don't give him back the crack pipe. You don't do it. It's that, like, yes. that doesn't, the more I think about it, it doesn't make sense.
No, it's not good for him. But that's even debatable. But the other part of it is he committed a violation.
Yes.
There has to be the repercussions for the violation.
I thought that was an ironclad rule. Like,
yes.
If you bet, especially in college, like, come on. There's never been a precedent where somebody knowingly bet, got caught, and they said you can play. You just got to miss a game or two. No.
Texas Tech does not have to do this. Texas Tech could say, Brendan, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're part of the team. We're glad you're getting help. We cannot, in good conscience, put you on the field during the season. You can, as Derek has said many times, you can be around the program. You can come to practice. You can be around your teams. You can be in film sessions. But you cannot go on the field. Texas Tech does not have to do this. Texas Tech is going to do this because Brendan Sorsby gives them the best chance to win the national championship.
Now, Adam, you brought something up pretty interesting, jokingly, but I think it's a great question. When you said, hey, if you're a crisis manager, can you go to Lubbock right now?
Yes.
I do wonder if they have consulted outside people to say, hey, here's what we're thinking about saying. What do you think? Because I just get the sense, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, nobody's buying any of this stuff. Where they went, they just went did the car wash, as they call it. You know, they did the interviews. Here's our side of the story. It just sounds like they had a rah-rah session internally and said, yeah, if this happened at LSU, nobody'd be saying anything. You're right. But that
nobody
was that. But I just don't think from the outside, like a crisis manager, I don't think would sign off on that.
No.
Right. Like, who are they consulting PR-wise before they put this messaging out?
Again, when the head coach of the team is saying, well, he didn't murder anybody.
It's not the point.
He didn't assault anybody. So.
We know that.
We're good?
That's right.
Okay.
Well, that's just like if I blatantly cheat on a test and the teacher says, boy, I got you. You're cheating on the test. You're on video. And I just look back and I say, but I didn't murder anybody. Like, what does that got to do with it? Nothing. It's got nothing to do with it. We're not talking about murdering.
Okay, here's the question, because I don't think this is out there. Maybe it is. When did Texas Tech know? Because if you're giving someone all of this money, don't you do some type of vetting beforehand? If I'm a business owner and I'm shelling out the money that I'm shelling out, and am I not doing a background check on this kid that I'm about to give all this money to?
That's a good question.
So did anybody at Lubbock knew?
There's speculation that Cincinnati knew what was going on and continued to let him play.
Here's part of a story from ESPN.com. The facts of the Sorsby case have been well established. The NCAA was alerted to Sorsby's gambling in March after law enforcement tipped off a sportsbook. The organization notified Texas Tech of its investigation in April, and Texas Tech deemed Sorsby ineligible after he admitted to having a gambling addiction and went to an inpatient rehab center. I guess my question is, when did Sorsby commit to Texas Tech? I have to find out. But I'll have to give me a moment.
I would say probably before that.
Yeah.
He was probably already committed to Texas Tech.
In January.
Yeah, that sounds right.
In January.
Come on. you didn't know something from January to you didn't know that there could be a possibility that there's something going on.
I don't think it would be the first time
2-3 months
that people would just look the other way and say, let's just hope nobody finds out about this and hope that he's okay. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, oh boy, we need to maybe look at this now and get out in front of it rather than hope that nobody finds out. Because people have sometimes the hope nobody finds out, I can, Bruce Pearl, Jim Tressel, guys who got nailed pretty hard for thinking,
nobody's going to find out. Keep your fingers crossed.
And then they check your email and they look at the picture or something. And they're like, oh, didn't think about that.
Let's quickly go to our phone line. James has a comment on Cam Ward. James, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mind waiting here and all that. I mean, that's a whole other topic. I didn't call to talk about that, but I'm going to say to me, he should be expelled from school. But that's a conversation for another phone call. Getting back to Cam Ward, I mean, listen, when they drafted him number one overall, I thought to myself, he's watched him in college, watched his how much he improved from the time he transferred from Washington State to Miami. I think we're going to be fine with Cam Ward. If anybody thinks that for 1 second that Will Levis and Mitchell Trubisky is better than Cam Ward, then they got to really serious get their head examined. All this texture that you guys read his text a little while ago, it nailed it. The guy had a bad offensive line. He had many, I wouldn't say bad receivers, but he had mediocre receivers, the pedestrian coaching. Do you all agree with that? I mean, you know, give this guy another year before we start saying he sucks, because I don't think he sucks. And quite frankly, I think Mitchell Trubisky sucks. I don't know why. I've thought about him before. I don't know why they brought him on here. I'd love to see his numbers from when he was a starter. I'll just hang up and say, for anybody out there, let's just give the guy a chance. You know, I mean, it just drives me nuts. But anyway, thank you for the event, guys. And I'll call back. I'll call back. No, if I'm wrong, I'll call back midway through the season and say I was wrong. But anyway, have a great day. Thank you for letting me talk.
You too, James. 615-737-1025. We'll react to Cam Ward and Brendan Sorsby. Coming up next, Elliot Freeman joining the program at the top of the hour. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at First Horizon Park. Sounds versus Bulls, Durham Bulls, that is. 6:35 p.m. first pitch on 94.9 The Fan. A lot of reaction on Cam Ward and Brendan Sorsby. We'll get to that before we get to Elliot Freeman at the top of the hour. One texter says, two quick questions about this Texas Tech deal. One, is it not in the actual NCAA rules not to gamble? If so, what are we doing here? Two, let's say this goes to court and they say the NCAA was right. Will Texas Tech get the death penalty like SMU? Now, let me make sure I have my facts right here. Sorsby's gambling, well, I'm sure I have this right. All of it happened before he became a member of Texas Tech. It happened when he was at Indiana and Cincinnati. So Texas Tech isn't party to this. So I don't think the Red Raiders would get the death penalty for any reason.
No,
they shouldn't.
I don't think so.
But yes, it is in the rules not to gamble.
Explicitly.
Yes.
And they spend a lot of time because they know, they you know, as hypocritical as it is to say, yeah, we'll take all the money from all the gambling sites and let everybody go wild on the phones and the fans are going crazy. They also know they have to work that much harder to educate the players that, look, you can't do this. I know everybody else is doing it and it's all over the place. You can't get away from it. But that still mean it still doesn't mean that you're allowed to go gamble. And so nobody that's playing doesn't know that. Nobody.
The rule states that you cannot place any bet of any kind, again, any professional or college sports that has a NCAA championship. Further, the own team rule, again, own team, any student athlete who wagers on their own sport or on other sports at their own school, keyword own, faces the permanent loss of all, and I repeat, all remaining collegiate eligibility. That's straight and clear, right?
That's pretty clear.
That's straight and clear.
Is there anything in there that says, oh, but he only bet on his team to win?
No.
No, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Josh says, an athlete betting on sports is like my wife cheating on me. That's the one thing we can never recover from. It breaks the integrity of the game and can never be truly forgiven. Caleb says, Texas Tech knows damn well if this was Arch Manning, they would be singing to the heavens how he shouldn't play. LOL.
Of course.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But it leads me
to... I do wonder how many other schools that were in on Sorsby...
Yeah.
Would they handle it different? Did they know things? Were there schools that were tipped off about the gambling addiction in some sort of vetting or background check that backed off? Mm-hmm. Or would they have all taken him and then hope that it didn't come to light? I don't know. It could. I don't think Texas Tech was the only team offering him a scholarship.
No.
And he bet while he was in Indiana as well as Ohio.
Cincinnati.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think anybody found any bets on Cincinnati football while he was there. Now, there were a lot of things that I think were proven that he had other people place bets on his behalf. So, and I'm not sure where that counts in the numbers. Like, there were some articles, if you just look it up, they've got all the stats. It's all there. The data is on the phone. It's all on the sites that these bets were placed. It's not disputable.
One texter says, I just don't understand why a coach would want to put his team through this. The second Sorsby makes a dumb player mistake, half the team is going to be wondering if he did it on purpose.
Because the guy that's paying the bills is running the team. It's basically what it is. God is the donors, the billionaires that are giving you the NIL money because you can't survive without them. And the head coach isn't strong enough. He doesn't have enough championships, if any, underneath his belt. So who is he going to say to the donor, we can't have him, or you need to, you know, take your NIL away and he doesn't need to play? No.
So here's the data on Sorsby betting on Indiana when he was a part of the Hoosiers from ESPN. Quote, between September 2nd and October 22nd, 2022, Sorsby made at least 40 wagers on Indiana football and or individual members of the team. According to the documents, the bets ranged from $1 to $114 and totaled at least $850. Sorsby redshirted during the 2022 season and was a scout team quarterback. He didn't compete in games during the period in which he made bets on the Hoosiers. The wager stopped 2 weeks before he made his debut against Penn State on November 5th, 2022.
So tell me, that was in what, 20 what?
2022.
When he...
40 bets on Indiana as a member of the team, but none when he was playing in the game.
That was 4 years ago, right?
Yes, about 4 years ago.
Okay, and the law states in Indiana that you have to be over 21. To make a bet.
I believe that is correct.
So I would be like, man, why don't they press him in Indiana? Because he bet while underage, and we don't know, depending on how much he bet, that is, he broke the law, which should subject him to penalty based upon that.
Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Trey, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Good, Trey.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, I just want to say that I have about a 30% outlook on Mr. Biscay getting in any of them games this year.
Okay.
And I say that because I believe personally, if Cal Ward messes up, or if he flopped, Will Levis will probably be in there. There's no way they could play Mr. Trubisky. What kind of record Mr. Trubisky got? We ain't going back.
Thank you, Trey.
There it is.
Yes, yes.
But, hey, we ain't going back, baby. We ain't going back.
No, we're not.
Hey, I love y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Love you, Trey. You too.
All right. Thank you, Trey.
They paid him too much money. I don't think they're going to not play him if indeed something happens to Cam, which I pray it doesn't. But I'm not sure if Will Levis will even be around, honestly, you know. But I think in their mind, Trubisky is the backup.
Still got a ways to go.
Yeah.
To sort it all out. But that is something that will be on people's minds.
Yeah.
If Will Levis is still on the roster at training camp.
One texter on Cam Ward. We were talking about quarterbacks who have shown improvement, dramatic improvement in their accuracy over time. We've mentioned Josh Allen. He's usually the first person who comes to mind. One texter says, I'm not sure Ward is toolsy enough to overcome mediocre accuracy. He isn't the athlete Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson is. He's not a big guy either. If he became Baker Mayfield, I'd be happy, but I think that's probably his ceiling as a quarterback.
That wouldn't be all bad, really.
Baker Mayfield?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield is a damn good quarterback to me.
But then does he become Baker Mayfield for another team like Baker Mayfield did?
That's a good question. I think looking back, would the Browns
But Baker did take the Browns to the playoffs.
Yes, it's not as if he had no success.
Exactly.
They did have a really good year. They beat the Steelers in the playoffs. And their coach was the coach of the year.
Mm-hmm. Then it went downhill
and
when
they
got OBJ.
And then he had a bad year the next year. And then they decided to go to Deshaun Watson. You know, that they scrapped Baker Mayfield more, I would say, quicker than a lot of people would have. Fair to say? I think if they could do it over again, you ask every Browns fan, they would have said, just keep Baker.
Yeah. Yeah.
One texter says, if there's no consequence here, doesn't that open an invitation for all these student athletes to gamble with no repercussion?
Exactly.
The dude at Texas Tech still got to play. Absolutely crazy. As you said, Willie, you don't even have to win the case. You just need a temporary injunction. And that's what happened with Brendan Sorsby. He's going to miss two games, easy games on the schedule, Abilene Christian and Oregon State for Texas Tech. He'll be back in time for the Big 12 opener, though. That's the key. He'll be back in time for the Big 12 opener.
I'm not sure if another team would do that, even chance. Or let's say a player. Say, I don't know. I don't think another player would say, well, since Sorsby, they're allowing him to play, or there's an injunction in place that he can't play. I don't think that's going to make me that's at University X over here say, okay, I should bet now because – this judge in my county may think totally different than what that judge in that county is thinking. The judge in this county may be like, no, you're done. You know, so I'm not sure if it's going to open up like new people to go out there and bet. But I think, you know, for those that may have placed bets already and trying to stop or have stopped, if they get caught, I think they would then go to this.
I do have a question that we don't know the answer to. How many other players are watching this story unfold and go, you know what? I may be in trouble. If somebody exposes me, they have to be, there have to be some, right? Maybe it's not a high-profile guy like Sorsby, but there's some people out there that have probably made some bets that they shouldn't have and are sweating right now going, oh, boy, what if they get my phone? Or, like, what if somebody finds things out? Yeah.
One texter says, the new recruiting tool, our local judge is an alum.
Yeah, there you go.
But this guy wasn't, though, right?
He wasn't. The original judge had 2 degrees from Texas Tech and recused himself. Yeah. So the judge who made this ruling, not a Texas Tech alum. But I can see the point there. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, will join us live from Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight in Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll also ask him, of course, about the Predators and more coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donig, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.